Good morning and welcome. I invite you to join me in singing the opening hymn, number 411, O Bless the Lord, My Soul. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I invite you to join me in saying the Jubilate, which is on page 82 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Be joyful,
Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with song.
Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
We will read responsibly Psalm 114 from the Book of Common Prayer, page 756. Hallelujah, when Israel came out of Egypt.
The house of Jacob from a people of strange feet.
Judah became God's sanctuary.
And Israel his dominion.
The sea beheld it and fled.
Jordan turned and went back.
The mountains skipped like rams.
And the little hills like young sheep.
What ailed you, O sea, that you fled?
O Jordan, that you turned back.
You mountains that you skipped like rams.
You little hills like young sheep.
Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord.
At the presence of the God of Jacob.
Who turned the hard rock into a pool of water.
And flintstone into a flowing spring.
The first reading is from Exodus, chapter 14. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came before the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on the dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at the dawn, the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers. The entire army of Pharaoh had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me in saying Canticle 21, found on page 95 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. You are God,
we praise you. You are the Lord, we claim you.
You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you.
To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, seraphim, and endless praise.
Holy, 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 Lord, the God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Glorious company of apostles praise you, the noble fellowship of prophets praise you, the white-robed army of martyrs praise you.
Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Mother of God, the founder, true and only true, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide you, Christ, the King of glory, eternal Son of the Father.
You became man, the virgin's soul, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers, you are seated at God's right hand of glory, we believe that you come, Lord, and help your people with the price of your own blood, bring us with your saints, glory is everlasting.
Amen. Second reading is from Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith. but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Yeah. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves. We do not die to ourselves. We live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute and join as you are able, singing hymn 615, Thy Kingdom Come, which can be found on your insert.
St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king which settled accounts with his slaves. While he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. As he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment he made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." Now the pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. The same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. The fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I'll pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. The fellow slaves heard that they would happen. They were greatly distressed, and they reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. You do not have a mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you." In anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So the Heavenly Father would also give to every one of you. You never give your brother or sister from your heart the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been wronged? I mean, the serious, majorly wronged, like somebody stole all your money or hurt one of your family or loved ones or publicly shamed you, embarrassed you, outed you in public, or maybe some littler wrongs, some slights, some injustices, some hurt feelings. Those kinds of things that you're thinking about year after year after year and you just can't let go of. Have you ever been wronged? Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is telling us how to live the early Christian church, how to live a Christian life, how to build up the community of Christ. And we've been reading that and studying that in conjunction with the Gospel of Matthew and Jesus's teachings as he's heading back to Jerusalem to face certain death, and trying to figure out how the disciples are supposed to live their lives. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about our words matter, what we say matters, how we say it matters. And last week, if you remember, we talked about Jesus says, if someone sins and you know about it, you go to them like a mature human being and say, you did wrong. And what we talked about is he's not talking about little sins. He's talking about those things that tear down the community of God, those things that hurt the community. And he said, if they don't listen, then two or three of you go and confront the person. And he tells us, but remember, when the two or three of you gather, I am in the midst of you. So we go in the name of Jesus, in prayer, to talk to the person who has wronged, hurt the community. And then he said, if they still don't listen, then the church is in trouble. The community is at risk. Because if you have someone who is consistently, knowingly harming the community, we're all at risk. Today's gospel follows immediately on that. It's the very next thing that is said is then Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if another member of a church sins against me, how many times should I forgive? As many as seven times, which is the Jewish commandment to forgive seven times. And Jesus says, no, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And depending on your translation, it might say 77 times, or it might say seven times seven, or it may say 70 times seven times. And that boggles my mind. And I say, well, that's That's too much. That's too hard. There is no way I can forgive somebody the same offense 77 times, much less 70 times 7 times. Now, I need to throw in this caveat. If you are being physically, emotionally, sexually abused, that is not the situation Jesus is talking about. In that situation, you need to go to your loving community, your supports, and get help. If you are a student who is being bullied day after day, that is not the situation where you just forgive and forget. You go to your loving community and you get help with that. But that aside, Jesus tells us that we should forgive 77 times, which to me is absolutely incredible. And as I was thinking and praying about that this week, I thought about in 2006, you may remember the Amish community where a gunman went into a school. He sent out the teachers and the boys and he had the 10 girls lie on the floor. And he shot them and then shot himself. And what you may or may not remember about that situation is that one of the grandfathers went to the family of the shooter that day and offered love, forgiveness, support in their grief over the loss of their son and what their son had done. And it said that the entire Amish community showed up at the shooter's funeral, offering again the family forgiveness and love and support in their time of distress and need. And I think again about that and say, that's just impossible. That's too hard. That's too much to ask of anyone. And Jesus knows that's difficult. So then he tells us this parable. And if you remember, a parable is a story with layers to it. You unwrap it, you unwrap it, you unwrap it. And it's a simple story that tells us a deeper truth. And it also tells us about the kingdom of heaven. And he starts that way. The kingdom of heaven is like this king who is, he's going to make a reckoning for accounts. And he calls in his slave who owes him 10,000 talents. And he says, you need to pay back this 10,000 talents. And the slave falls to his knees and he says, please have mercy on me. Have pity on me. Give me time and I'll pay it back. And the king takes pity on him, releases him from slavery, and forgives him the debt. Now, a talent, if you had 10,000 talents, that's equivalent to 150 years of labor. 150 years every day of pay to pay back the 10,000 talents. And the king forgave it and released him. As the slave was walking away, he ran into a friend of his who owed him 100 denarii, which is equal to 100 days worth of work. And he said, give me what you owe me. And his friend fell to his knees and said, have pity on me. And instead he threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. Well, the king heard about that, got word sent for him, and he says, you wicked slave, I forgave you all your debt. And Jesus then turns to the disciples and he says, the same will happen to you unless you forgive from the heart. And at that point, I freak a little bit. How could I possibly forgive everything from the heart? And if I don't, then I'm thrown into the outer darkness. That's incomprehensible to me. But what if we're looking at it from a different angle? What if the story is more about the king? Because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this king. What if it is this king who forgives 150 years worth of debt and releases you from slavery and forgives you everything? What if we are to learn about the God who forgives us so abundantly, so massively, fills us, covers us with grace and mercy, that there is no way we can repay that debt? What if this story points to a God, the God who is the judge of all, as we hear in Romans, but the God who forgives all when we turn to him and say, have pity on me? And what we know is when we can acknowledge the massive debt that was paid for us, not once, the debt was paid once for all, but it isn't that in baptism we're forgiven our sins and then after that they accumulate. It's every day, every time that I say to God, I'm sorry, I messed up in thought, word, and deed by what I did and what I didn't do, what I said and what I didn't say, what I thought and didn't think, and God forgives. Not with strings attached, not with expectations, but here you've been given freedom from that debt, from that weight, from that sin. Then how could we not live in gratitude? How could we not live a thankful life? How could we not then turn to our community and say, okay, I'm willing to try again and try again? And when I think about it, 150 years times 365 days, that's a huge amount of days. God forgives more than we could ask or imagine. And that his friend that he could not forgive owed him 100 days, a tiny, tiny portion of what he had already been forgiven. We're invited to live in that gratitude, live in that awareness of God's grace and mercy and love, to know that every day is a new day for us where we can start out forgiven, healed, free. I invite you over the next few days, over this week, to sit down with God, to come clean with God, to dig into those deep, dark recesses of those grudges we hold, of the wrongs we have done, of the hurts we have encountered, and say, God, have pity on me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sin. And then go and joy and grace and love and build up the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. We now join together to say the Apostles' Creed, found on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died,
and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you.
Let us pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon the earth.
Your health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
O God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you make glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship with you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, your blessed Son, to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring Christians into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The prayers of the people can be found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 193. Of the people can be found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 392. In peace we pray you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For
our families, for neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, justice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
Those who minister to the sick, friendless,
and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For our presiding bishop, our bishop, and for Lynn and Gary, and all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Rachel, Morgan, Julie and Ben, Jean, Pam, Alan, Carol, Betty and Richard, Adrienne, Kevin, Janet, Darlene and John, Tammy, Peggy and George, Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jim L, Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta and Jim, baby Eliza and family, and Michael S, Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer and family, Doug, T.S., Jerry, Phil, James, John, Amy, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, Jean F., Muriel, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For all who are fleeing from the wildfires and all those who are responding to the wildfires.
For Ashlyn, Betty, and Shelley.
For those who are dealing with the smoke from the wildfires out west.
For Seth and family.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
And help.
Who put their trust in you.
For my husband's birthday tomorrow.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in our eternal kingdom.
We remember all who died on 9/11.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
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 I invite you to join me in saying together the general thanksgiving found on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love and redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and the glory. And we pray for an awareness
of your mercy,
that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, honor and glory throughout
all ages. Amen.
I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn, number 559, Lead Us, Heavenly Father. Blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks.
Be to God.